This is The Mountain Life, Healthy Living in the Wasatch. I'm Lynn Ware Peak, here with Tim Henney. Jamie Bonfiglio grew up mixing holistic balms and tinctures with her grandmother when she was just 10 years old. Then she began selling her own mixtures at the local farmer's market in the late 90s, which led her to founding Whole Sun Wellness just last year. Jamie will be speaking about the medicinal and nutritional power of mushrooms at Alpine Apothecary tomorrow. Jamie, welcome to The Mountain Life.
Hi.
Great to have you. Well, what first made you interested in mushrooms and their healing power? I mean, did it start with collecting mushrooms to eat and then you realize they have this nutritional power?
So I actually was having some pretty, you know, intense health issues myself, and I've always been into natural medicine. And a friend of mine told me about chaga, which I knew about the culinary mushrooms, and yes, I love mushrooms, but I didn't know so much about the medicinal mushrooms because they're quite different. And when she told me about chaga and just some of the healing benefits, and I started trying them, started taking them, and a few months later, I saw some amazing benefits myself. And that was close to 4.5 years ago, and I've been in complete remission with the issues that I was having. And so that's what sparked my interest and just what it did for my own health. I started educating myself more on them. And then I started working for a really big mushroom company in the U.S. And during my years with this company, it just grew even more. So that's pretty much how I got started on mushrooms. Again, I've always been into the natural spectrum of things, but it wasn't until I tried it myself and then worked for this company that really opened my viewpoint on fungus, you know, fungi, all of that. They're just amazing.
Yeah. So the interesting thing about fungus is there are some diets I know that are created specifically to avoid fungus, and mm-hmm. fungus is not a good thing to have in your body. So can you explain the difference there?
Well, I mean, I know a lot of different, you know, again, diets, they don't want you incorporating mushrooms. And I think it's just because, you know, a lot of times the culinary, and at least this is how I've perceived things, and it could be different, but the culinary mushrooms that you buy in the produce and stuff, a lot of times the way they're cultivated and grown, they might contain traces of chemicals or other things that can actually cause issues in your system and diet. And, you know, when you're doing medicinal mushrooms, the cultivation is a lot different and how they're grown. And also they go through more testing. So there is no mold, E. coli, any kind of contaminant in there. And so it's just a big difference from culinary to medicinal. And I think that's why a lot of people will still, you know, stay clear from mushrooms because they've either had a bad experience or they've read up on something like, oh, you shouldn't be consuming these mushrooms. But it's more about the growing technique. One thing that people should never do anyways is eat raw mushrooms. They should always be cooked. So that old tradition of raw mushrooms and salads, that's a no-go. But I think that's probably the biggest reason. And a lot of people, too, look at it as it is a fungus. It's not like the fungus that you would get in your toes and things like that. It's totally different. But people just have this, you know, misconception of mushrooms. And I think it just stems more down to the educational part of it and not knowing the difference and what ones you should avoid and which ones you should incorporate.
Jamie, I'm a big fan of mushrooms. I love eating them whenever possible, but I use it only for culinary and nutritional purposes, and really culinary because I like the taste and the texture.
Oh, they're amazing.
Yeah. And but so where does the culinary and the nutritional cross over? I'm sure there's a whole bunch of common ground in there. And for somebody like myself, who isn't necessarily going, oh, wow, you know, I want to use mushrooms for the medicinal benefits. I just want to have more mushrooms. And if they have a medicinal benefit, that's kind of bonus. Is there a way for somebody like me to expand into your mushrooms and use them in a culinary fashion?
So let me first say culinary mushrooms are very nutritional. They have many vitamins and minerals and proteins. And some of the culinary mushrooms are actually medicinal. But the difference is you would have to eat bushels and bushels of, say, shiitake to get what we offer through our mushrooms. And it's all about the process of how they're being, you know, extracted and stuff. But you're still getting medicinal properties from, like, oysters, shiitake, and all those. Lion's mane tastes like lobster when you saute it up. They're amazing mushrooms. But if you wanted to expand more on the more medicinal, some of these medicinal mushrooms you cannot, like, saute up or cook them because their outer skin, the chitin, is really, really hard. So it's almost like a hockey puck. I mean, there's no way you could saute them. You'd have to incorporate them in, like, a tea or, you know, different ways of using it that way. But, I mean, I hope that's helping. Like, the culinary side is amazing. Eat mushrooms. The white buttons are men's best friends. It will actually help with testosterone. There's a lot of amazing benefits you can just get from the culinary, especially from the farmer market mushrooms that they offer. But if you're wanting to expand more on the medicinal, like a stronger potency where you're getting the higher amounts of the beta-D-glucans, which are the healing properties of the mushrooms, then you could actually, if you didn't want to buy a product, you could start cultivating them yourself. My company actually offers cultivating classes now. We're starting our first one in November, at the end of November and the beginning of December. So we're really wanting to teach people like you that, you know, maybe don't want to go buy a product, but they would like to do it for themselves where they can just harvest these mushrooms and incorporate them into their daily diet.
And Jamie, before we went on air with you, Lynn and I were talking about the Mushroom Society, which I'm familiar mm-hmm. with. We did an interview years ago with somebody, and I've followed them through the years from afar. I haven't ever been on one of their outings, yeah. but I know they go into the Uintas and they collect mushrooms and they do discussions yeah. and they educate people. But so your mushrooms aren't gathered out in the wild. You have a farm or a processing place where yes. you can do it on a more industrial scale. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so we're not like what's on the market right now. And this is one of the reasons why I started my company. Again, I was working for a huge mushroom company here in the U.S., and they focus on the mycelium, which is actually their root. It is not a mushroom. And when I started researching mushrooms more, because I decided to host a Utah Fungi Festival, which will be next year at the Gallivan Center, I started educating myself more on mushrooms. And I realized that in order to get these medicinal compounds, it is so important that they are grown on their native substrates, the logs. And, of course, Utah, is a dry state. I mean, a lot of these mushrooms you can't even grow here, you know, that you're not going to find here out in the forest. And so when I decided to do this company, I actually met up with a gentleman that has been doing this since the 70s. He is the guru of mushroom farming, cultivating everything. And how they do it is they just do it in these big greenhouses on their natural substrate. And then we go through that process. And the thing people don't realize is, to cultivate a mushroom full cycle can take a long time. And so as a business, you know, that's a lot of times why people will use the root instead of the whole mushroom because of the process it takes to grow full cycle. But that's how I got started with the whole, like, okay, I can't grow a farm here in Utah, so let's go with the best. Go with someone that knows what they're doing, that is passionate about mushrooms, and just to really mimic nature. We don't want to go out in nature and just be collecting all these mushrooms. Our ecosystem, the forest, everything rely on this whole cycle with the mycelium, the mushrooms, everything. And so we really want to make people aware of proper cultivating techniques and also protecting our own ecosystem and not taking more than what they should. So that's pretty much how that all got started with the farming and everything. And it's a beautiful practice. You know, keeping it as close as you can to nature where you're not tweaking things. We don't do it when you mention industrial size, we don't even do it in labs or anything. We have farmers that handpick these mushrooms and then they put them out in the sun for sunbathing to get the vitamin D to come out of it. I tell people, for someone like you that love culinary mushrooms, when you buy them from the farmer's market or the produce, they'll put them out on your patio for an hour or so. Just let the sun do its job. Get the vitamin D to come out through those mushrooms. So that's really important as well.
If you're just joining us, our guest is Jamie Bonfiglio. She's the founder of Whole Sun Wellness. Her website is wholesunwellness.com, and that's sun, like that thing that gives us vitamin D, S-U-N.
Yeah.
you battled Crohn's colitis disease for years. You mentioned that you were dealing with these issues for a long time, and then mushrooms helped you out of it. Do medicinal mushrooms treat all sorts of issues, or are they mostly treating, you know, things that are in our gut?
No. So mushrooms can do anything from boosting the immune system, eliminating toxins, brain health, function, digestion, reduction of inflammation, cellular health, adaptogen of stress. So it's actually calming. It's antiviral, everything. Mushrooms work every system in your body. And that's where people when they think mushrooms, again, they think the culinary ones. And so when they start diving into the mushrooms themselves and educating, just the clinical research and studies that back all of this are mind-blowing. When I first launched to get on the market, I really thought I'd be embraced by retailers just because I was already into the retail side with the other company. We are now partnered with 45 conventional clinics across the U.S., and they're not holistic doctors. They're anywhere from oncologists, psychiatrists, family medicine, GIs. It's just been amazing what these mushrooms does for our bodies and the research these doctors have seen. I mean, and the one thing that I try to tell people, it's like, it is nutrition. It's food. It's just very therapeutic food. So we call it a superfood food. But when I started with the mushrooms, my Crohn's colitis, it was really bad. I was 90 pounds. Wow. I was bleeding for about 4 months, heavy bleeding, to the point that they wanted to do what's called a J pouch. And again, I was already very healthy. The running joke is that I had a tapeworm because I would eat so much, but none of it was sticking. And that's when I started taking chaga. I mean, it didn't happen overnight. And I also tell people, like, the most important thing is breathing, water, food, and exercise. And so it did take, a good 6 months before I started seeing a big difference. But that was 4.5 years ago, and I've not had any flares or anything.
That's very interesting.
And then when I did start researching chaga, after I started using it, everything that I was finding that chaga did was for, like, IBS, leaky gut, Crohn's, colitis, all of this. And yes, mushrooms are very therapeutic on the spectrum side of, helping fight illness and disease and all that. However, I always tell people, like, here we come with the flu season. Mm-hmm. I haven't done the flu shot probably in over 20 years. And, I mean, I think a big part of it is just being natural. However, I mean, mushrooms help protect your immune system. They keep it strong. And so, just somebody that is perfectly healthy and maybe they're athletic and stuff, these mushrooms can help with so many things and just as a preventative to keep you healthy. So mushrooms aren't just for people that are sick. It should be for everybody that just wants to stay healthy, age well, and not get, not shut down.
Right. Jamie, you'll be speaking at Alpine Apothecary tomorrow evening at 6 p.m. Alpine Apothecary is in the Redstone Center at Kemble Junction at 1675 West Redstone Center Drive. And you'll be talking about all these things you've spoken about with us and more. But let's talk a little bit about, mushroom, I guess, that I recognize both as a medicinal and also a culinary mushroom is shiitake. So let's talk about shiitakes a little bit. You mentioned, what was the mushroom that you used, the chaga. Okay. So are there various, would I use a shiitake mushroom to help me with a certain symptom or a certain issue where I'd use chaga as, to help me with a different issue? Or is it all about blending the mushrooms together? How does that work?
Oh, no. So it's like I tell people when I do lectures, every one of these mushrooms work your whole system. However, each mushroom has a specialty that it focuses on more, that it enhances. So chaga, you're going to recognize chaga more for digestion. Okay. It also is great for people that have psoriasis, skin issues. I mean, there's just little things that chaga does. For example, shiitake, you know, it's a full B vitamin complex. It helps with energy levels. It helps with brain function. Shiitake is one of the only mushrooms that help regrow brain tissue. So there's a lot of really cool things that shiitake does with the inflammation. Research has also shown it fights growth in tumor cells, you know. So that is, I mean, for somebody that was just looking for, hey, you know, maybe I'm having some hormonal issues or maybe my energy levels aren't so great and they don't want to do a blend and they just want to try one mushrooms. Yeah, shiitake would be a great one, especially for brain function and mood stability. There's only a few mushrooms that really focus on the brain, and lion's mane and shiitake, at least out of my product line, are the top two that would be recommended for brain support.
And I like the fact that
each mushroom definitely does have what they showcase, like cordyceps. And I would love to send you guys some free samples so you can experience what we're talking about. With cordyceps alone, it's great for men and women, from anything from cardiovascular, liver, kidney, energy, somebody that works out, you know, high altitude breathing. When our air, I know in Park City, you guys probably don't get the inversion like we do down here in the valley. But during the inversion season, we recommend everybody taking cordyceps because it helps intake oxygen levels to your lungs, healthy respiratory, breathing, everything. So these mushrooms all have little things that they showcase more than others. And as for blending, yes, with somebody that has never done a mushroom like this, and they're like, look, I'm pretty healthy, or maybe I'm just, you know, I want something for my immune support, or I'm not really sure where to go. We always recommend trying a blend because it's kind of like the, you know, introduction to all of these. But somebody that is really trying to target a certain symptom or an illness, or, you know, maybe it's brain function, then that's when we would refer them to take the mushroom by itself. And mixing them is not going to have any interactions because it really is food. We do tell people, though, there are a few mushrooms that you have to be careful with medication. Reishi, for example, if you're on blood thinners, you do not want to take reishi because it thins the blood. Maitake, type 2 diabetics that are on on medication that lowers the sugar levels, maitake does that naturally, so you're going to go too low. But besides that, everything else is just food. It's just very therapeutic.
And Jamie, with respect to it being just food, I'm on your website, and I opened up the shop, and I see the bags of the different mushrooms. What am I going to see when I open one of those bags? Am I going to see actual mushrooms, or
well,
am I going to see the extracted?
A funky color powder that smells like a mushroom or something that might not, you know, they're all powders. And the reason why we do this is because, you know, most of the time when people, you know, put products on the industry, they use capsules. We don't want people to look at this as taking another pill. I mean, so many people take so many medications in the morning and even supplements. You can overdo supplements. And so we really want people to incorporate it in whatever they're eating or drinking, looking at it as a food because it is a food, and also getting more connected with the mushrooms. Yes, they do smell like mushrooms, and they do taste like mushrooms, but they're not awful. And that's just all part of educating. And the one thing that I tell people, too, because I have a lot of customers that will come up, and even through lectures, and they're like, well, we go to the farmer's market, we're eating lion's mane all the time or maitake. And I'm like, that's great. You know, for the nerve growth factor for lion's mane, you can't just eat lion's mane and get that benefit. You have to take a certain dosage in order to get that nerve stimulation going. And so with our mushrooms, how they're different is when we're cultivating them and doing the extract process, we're doing bushels and bushels of these mushrooms and concentrating them down to a smaller amount. So they're really potent. So when you're being, you know, suggested use as a half teaspoon, that is quite a, that's a pretty big amount, even though it doesn't look like it.
Well, and let's say hypothetically I have an injured shoulder and I've been putting arnica on my injured shoulder, and I see you have an extra strength soothing skin balm. Is it like arnica? Would it be doing the same thing, or does it address other issues?
It is. No, I've been making that since I was little, and I think Lynn just kind of went over that a little bit. That's always been something that's been in my family. I grow all the herbs myself, whole plant, and then I harvest my bees, wax, everything from my beehive, and make that balm. But what, and it does have arnica in it, but the whole point of that is exactly for pain relief if you had a, you know, a sore shoulder or even skin issues. One of the psychiatrists I work with down in Salt Lake, she actually has her patients put it on the base of their neck or their wrist, because topicals are amazing. They absorb right into the bloodstream. You don't have to worry about digestion issues or anything. And so somebody that might have high anxiety or they get, you know, panicky a lot, by doing that, it really just helps mellow them because of the combinations of the different herbs. So even for the sore muscle, it's going to do the same thing as arnica. It's just going to be more therapeutic because of all the herbs combined in there.
And just to be clear, it's not distilled down from mushrooms. You have a bunch of different herbs. This is a separate item that you've been doing for a long time.
Yes, and we are actually coming out with a topical that does incorporate three mushrooms that are very soothing for this skin. A lot of mushrooms are great for anti-aging. There's a lot of companies like anti-wrinkle creams, more of, you know, the luxury lines that are starting to use mushrooms in their formulas because of what it does for the skin, from anything from collagen to wrinkles to dark circles around the eyes, skin issues. So we are going to incorporate mushrooms in it. I mean, the one reason why I kept that on my product line is because I've been making it so long. It was, that's how I got started in all of this, was that topical. So I just kind of, and I had so many people wanting it when I was passing it out all the time as samples, I was like, okay, I'll just continue making it. But it's such a handcrafted product, it's never going to be mass produced. If I run out, I'm out, because it is handcrafted and I harvest my herbs at certain times of the season in order to have enough for the next year.
So, Jamie, you'll be speaking again at Alpine Apothecary tomorrow evening. And then you also mentioned something I want to go back to, was a cultivating class that is being offered later on this year. But you talked about how the importance of cultivating mushrooms, you said, on its sort of original substrate, so on a log.
Yes.
So in the cultivating class, I mean, is this how you should be cultivating mushrooms if you've got a dark place log in it?
Really wet.
A lot of times you can inoculate the logs, like they'll, you know, chop them up, so you're not just going out and bringing a big chunk of log in. I mean, preferably you want to cultivate these on logs, because mushrooms are like us. That's how they feed. That's their nutrition. They have to be grown on their native substrates in order to thrive. I always use chaga as an example, because chaga is technically a parasite. It attacks the birch tree, and then it will slowly kill that birch tree for the next 80 years or so. But the birch tree has to have the chaga, too, in order to survive. So they really, with these mushrooms, and when you take these mushrooms and cultivate on what people usually use, is called grain spawn, which is just brown rice. You know, yes, it's a fast technique. You cultivate on there, and that's what primarily most people in the industry use, at least for the supplement world. However, I'm just a big believer, if you are going to put these internally in your body and you're not using them for the environmental aspect, then they need to be on what they originally grow on in nature, because that is how they're going to get those important compounds. So in turn, you're going to get those important compounds yourself. And I always tell people, like, if you can't find these substrates, try to find something that's close, but don't cultivate on things that are like straw, you know, rice, oats, all of that. Yes, it's an easy method, and it has been around for a very long time. I believe grain spawn started in France. So it's been a technique that's been around for a long time, and a lot of people use it. But I'm just trying to teach people other ways. If somebody does choose to cultivate that way, I mean, they're still going to get some benefits if they're using it more for an edible purpose like culinary. It's not like they won't get benefits from the mushrooms. But when I'm cultivating, I want all the benefits. I want them to get the important compounds that they get from their native substrate. So this class that we're doing, yes, we are going to be teaching mushrooms, cultivating on natural substrates, and just showing people different ways, different techniques. It is a beginner class. I mean, we will be offering more advanced classes well and environmental classes too. It's just all trying to lead up to this mushroom awareness, because we really want people to come to this festival and start realizing the impact the mushrooms really do play on us and also the planet. They're pretty important.
So, Jamie, some mushrooms will kill you if you eat them. Some mushrooms make you hallucinate. Some mushrooms cure your colitis. It's just so amazing, and I never thought I would have so many questions about mushrooms. But what do you have to say about that? The fact that they span the gamut of, you know, helping to harming.
Yeah. Well, for the harmful ones, they might be harmful to us, but they're not for the planet. You know, they all have a purpose. Same with the ones that make you hallucinate. I mean, all these mushrooms are decayers. They have a purpose for our ecosystem. And a lot of these mushrooms can hurt us, but there's a reason why they're here. There's a reason why they do what they do. And that's why when even he was mentioning the morel, like how I'm glad that he picked one that was not poisonous, because there's a lot of mushrooms that look just like one another, and one might be okay, but the other one you might not wake up from after you cook it up. And
I
so,
ate it very
I mean, they
slowly.
Definitely play an important part in our environment, and that's, I feel like, is the most critical part. The ones that help us, there's a reason why they help us. So I like, it intrigues me. I mean, every day I'm learning so much more. I mean, I've only been into the mushroom field now since the Chagas, so over 4.5 years. I worked with the other company for a few years, but every day I'm learning something new. I mean, there's just so much to know when it comes to mushrooms and what they're doing. But overall, what they're doing for the planet, it reaps down to us. So if our planet stays healthy, you know, in turn, we're going to be healthy as well. And now they're also using mushrooms as sustainable packaging, alternatives to, you know, different things that, what is that, not cardboard, but the packaging that IKEA just switched over to is now mushroom-based, and it's compostable. So little things, even leather. Now there's an alternative leather. When I worked with Paul Stamets, I got one of his leather hats, and it's actually all mushroom. It's crazy. It's now an alternative to leather. So it's really neat.
Your intrigue is not only palpable, but infectious. So it'll be a great...
We get people, you know, when I worked with the other company, I loved what I did. I had a great experience, but it'd be funny. I would have people come in, they would just start listening a little bit, and then I'd run into them again, and they would go out and research, and they were just like, I cannot believe what mushrooms do. And then the environmental piece of it is huge. I mean, and now just the bee research too, being a beekeeper, I was always on board about the bee research with the mushrooms and how phenomenal it is for our bees and building their immune system and helping, you know, prevent colony collapse. So it's just, there's all these little pieces of these mushrooms that what they do for us, even the harmful ones, there's a purpose for them. I mean, you look at cordyceps. Cordyceps helps keep the rainforest balanced. I mean, they attack different insects. They actually take over the host. They're like a zombie. It's really kind of creepy. It's like a sci-fi thing when you look at it. But they pop out of the insect's body. They use it as a host. But there's a reason for it. It keeps the rainforest balanced. So all these mushrooms do truly play an important part in our, you know, ecosystem, mm-hmm. and in also our health.
Yes.
I mean, we could spend hours and hours talking about just the individual mushrooms that I offer, but then getting into the environmental spectrum, that's a whole other topic. And that's also, too, why I'm being so forthright with getting out there and doing these free lectures all the time and putting together an amazing festival, because, like, just talking to you, it is intriguing and people want to learn more. Mm. And if we can just truly educate people on how amazing mushrooms are and what they can do, it's just hopefully going to open more eyes and helping more with saving our planet, saving our bees, and keeping us healthy. I mean, and I try not to talk about a lot of like cancer and major things that mushrooms help with, because we do clinical lectures with our oncologists and doctors where we can talk openly, but being not a doctor myself, you have to be really careful what you say. But then I tell people, go to my website, go to PubMed, research these. I mean, even the psychedelic mushrooms, I'm not against them. I mean, they're finding just by microdosing what it's doing for people that have major depression, mm-hmm. PTSD. I mean, there's some amazing benefits that these mushrooms can do.
Well, Jamie, we could talk to you all day, I'm sure, but
yep,
we've got to let you go. Jamie Bonfilio, there we go, is the founder of Whole Sun Wellness, and she'll be speaking at Alpine Apothecary at Kimball Junction in the Redstone Center tomorrow evening at 6 p.m. You can learn more there. Jamie, thank you so much for joining us on The Mountain Life.
Thank you guys so much for having me.
All right. Take care. Wow. First of all, I'm really glad that you didn't die from eating the morel, because I need a co-host.
I did some serious research before I ate that, and then I ate it really slowly.
That's hilarious that you ate it slowly. I wouldn't be able to enjoy this. I've never been able to pick mushrooms in the wild and eat them, even if someone says, oh, yeah, for sure, that's a lion's mane or whatever.
Well, morel, there's a false morel, which is toxic and will kill you. So that's the danger. But there is some big, clear difference.